Hello.
It's the middle of the night here, and I don't live alone, so I'm trying to keep my voice down. I hope you can hear me okay. We are here to look at chapter 20 of the Tao Te Ching. This is a very exciting chapter, which might be why we're doing it in the middle of the night. I'm not sure why. All I could say is that I woke up and, the download about chapter 20 started coming into the mind, and I realized I wasn't going to get any sleep unless I got up and did this. So here we are. Let me read chapter 20 to you. I titled this Dare to Be Different. Stop studying, trying to improve, and you'll have nothing to worry about. How much difference is there between giving people what they want and pandering? How much difference is there between good intentions and causing harm? When people are fearful, be cautious. These are desolate times. People are without their center. The people are bustling, excited, as if they enjoy their great prison, as if ascending a platform to watch the spring festival. I alone am anchored and without expectations, as if I am a baby and not yet a child, aimless, without direction, as if I have no home. Everyone has an abundance. I alone have been left out. I am a fool because I do not desire like they do. I am confused, ignorant, because I do not think like they do. I alone am muddle-headed. Yes, muddle-headed. The common people examine and analyze. I alone am bored and shut indoors. I'll interject this. I am tranquil, like the depths of the sea, like wind in a high place. Nothing can stop me. Everyone has a purpose. I alone am stupid in a low position. I alone am different from other people. I am sustained by the source, and I give endlessly. Now, this chapter was another one of those chapters that's very, very interesting to translate. And in fact, if you go out and find as many versions of the Tao Te Ching as you can and read chapter 20, you're going to notice, of course, as we've seen before, that the theme definitely comes through with everyone. It's not lost, but the specifics of how it's translated varies greatly. So we're going to look at a lot of translation options today. I'll share my screen. So this is Chapter 20. We'll just start at the beginning and work our way through. So, looking at the word for word for the Chinese characters above, you'll notice the first line says, cut short study, no worry. And I translated that as stop studying, trying to improve, and you'll have nothing to worry about. I made a note that this line seems to point back to chapters 13 and chapters 19. Chapter 13 was the chapter that said, to be held in high regard frightens us. Likewise, we fear disgrace. We talked about the fact that the reason high regard frightens us is because we fear disgrace, that deep down inside, we believe we're not good enough. And so even when we're in a position of success, in a position of high regard, there's this stress that at any moment we're going to make that fatal mistake that's going to cause us to fall into disgrace. Everybody will see what a loser we really are, etc. Well, that's what I feel this line is pointing to. You know, the reason the studying is happening is because of this trying to improve. Because again, we're trying to not look like we're less than, right? It also reminded me of chapter 19, the first line in chapter 19. Give up leading like you are the holy and wise one, right? Quit trying to look good out of your fear that you are not good enough. So this is really saying, quit trying to put forth an image that you believe covers up what you think is true about you, that you're not good enough. Because when you put forth that image to try and cover up what you think is true about you, what you're reinforcing in your own subconscious is that it is true about you. Instead of trying to put forth this image, just be natural, right? So stop studying, trying to improve, and you'll have nothing to worry about. Just be natural, and you'll have nothing to worry about. The next line, the Chinese characters, yes, of give, flatter, mutually, go, how much? And I translated that, how much difference is there between giving people what they want and pandering? We're going to look at these first four characters in the dictionary, because this is usually translated as something like, how much of a difference is there between yes and no? And I didn't translate it that way, and we're going to look at why. When I put those characters into the Chinese dictionary, we see that the first character has a couple of meanings, one of which is yes, and this is what I selected, yes, and then of, knowing, meaning that whatever follows is going to point back to that yes, yes of. Now, the next character has a few meanings, but I think good choices would be to give or to take part in. We'll find that either will work. To give or to take part in. And then the next character has several meanings. Now, usually, again, people translate this as no, but you will notice that none of the meanings mean no. The first meaning is really a prefix that you put in front of a name to indicate kinship or familiarity. It can also mean to flatter. Or it can be a particle expressing approval or doubt, and then a phonetic character. Flatter and approval together. This is where I got that idea of pandering in my translation. In fact, let's just go ahead and look up the word pandering. To pander to is to gratify or indulge. And you'll notice that I linked this back to chapter 17. And the reason I linked this back to chapter 17 is because chapter 17 was the chapter on effective and ineffective leadership. The greatest leaders were the ones that are empty, so the people simply know they exist. But then next come the leaders people feel close to and respect. The Chinese for this was in next, at next in sequence, parent, intimate. Do you see how there's a relationship between parent, intimate, and this kinship, flatter, approval? Which could be pandering, indulging people, right? People pleasing. So that they will see us as this next leader, the one that people feel close to and respect. You see how that idea kind of fits? So how much difference is there between giving people what they want, saying yes to them, and pandering? Now, one thing I want to say is that, again, most people translate this as something like, how much difference is there between yes and no? In fact, some of the translations that I respect the most translate this as, how much of a difference is there between yes and no? And when I was translating it, of course, I was very aware of how other people translated it. And, you know, there was this thought in my mind, you know, what if I'm doing this wrong? What if I'm missing something? After all, I don't know Chinese. As we go through the entire chapter, remember I called this chapter Dare to Be Different. As we go through the entire chapter, what we're going to see is that Lao Tzu is contrasting the common people with the enlightened master. And what we find is that in order to live as the enlightened master, you have to dare to be different. You can't be like the common people. So considering the meaning of the entire chapter is a part of what led me to follow the translation as I saw it, rather than doing what many other people did, including those that I respect highly. I didn't want to just follow everyone else when what I was seeing was something different. I wanted to be true to, I wanted to have that integrity of translating this as I saw it. Now, just in the last couple of days, as I've been preparing to teach this, again, I was looking at many, many versions, and I found another option that sometimes people use. And in fact, I think I found it here in this particular version with Jeff Pepper and Xiao Hu Wang, if I remember correctly. Yes, they did this. They said in theirs, instead of what is the, you know, how much of a difference is there between yes and no, they said, how far apart are yes and yeah? So you can see that's much more similar to what I saw. How far apart are yes and yeah? Where I said, how much difference is there between giving people what they want? That's the yes. And pandering, that could be the yeah. So I did find that some people translated it that way. I also got very curious about if, I'm not saying people are following one another, but if people are following one another instead of daring to be different, can I find the oldest English translation before you could follow other people translating this to English and see what it says? Now, I don't know if I found the oldest one, but I found the oldest one I could find by a guy named James Legge or Leggy. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce his name. Let me show you his translation. He says, the yes and the flattering, yeah. So he saw the word flattering too, you know, and he translated it much like the one we just looked at with Jeff Pepper, the yes and the yeah. But he put in parentheses, it's the ready yes and the flattering, yeah. And then he said, small is the difference they display. So I'm really happy that I dared to be different back when I was translating this and that I went with what I was seeing in the characters. I think there's a lesson in this for all of us. The lesson is the lesson of the entire chapter. We need to have integrity within ourselves with what we are seeing with how we are being, with what we are speaking, even if everyone else is doing something else. When I was in my first few years of learning to follow the inner wisdom, instead of the ego, one of the things that I was guided to do was to let go of opinions. You know, opinions are just based on conditioning, beliefs. They aren't based on fact. And when we're expressing opinions, we are just reinforcing the idea that I am this person. So I was guided to stop speaking opinions. And, you know, in normal everyday conversation, lots of opinions get thrown around, right? And so there was this thought in my mind, clearly coming from the ego, there was this thought in my mind that if I stop expressing opinions, people are going to think I'm stupid. People are going to think I'm boring. People are going to think I'm uninteresting, right? People are going to think I'm weird. And I had to be very brave to follow that guidance. I had to dare to be different in order to keep my mouth shut in conversations where people were discussing the local events or the news events and expressing opinions about them. In order to follow the guidance and to disengage from the ego, I had to dare to be different. That's what this chapter is about. And in fact, I said that I was worried that people would think I was uninteresting, that I was stupid, etc. Well, that's what Lao Tzu is expressing in this particular chapter. Now, I think he has a bit of a sense of humor here, but notice as we get down below, he's saying things like, I am a fool because I do not desire like they do. I am confused, ignorant, because I do not think like they do. I alone am muddleheaded. Yes, muddleheaded. I alone am bored and shut indoors. So it's interesting because right here at the very beginning of the translation, I had to be brave enough to dare to be different. Starting early on my own spiritual path, in order to follow my guidance, I had to be brave enough to dare to be different. And that ego voice was telling me that I was going to be seen as a fool, seen as boring, you know, etc. If we go to the next line, this is a similar line in that I translated it differently from other people. Most people translate this as good or evil. How much difference is there between them? Notice I have benevolent of give harm, mutually go how much. And what I said is how much difference is there between good intentions and causing harm? We look at these characters in the dictionary. We will notice that the first character could mean good. It could also mean benevolent, of, and then to give or to take part in. And then we've seen this character before. We looked at this a lot when we were looking at chapter 2. It could mean evil. It could also mean ugly. And it can also mean harm. So here it's easier to see why other people translated it as good, of, to give or to take part in, evil, and then how much is the difference between them, right? It's easier to see that. But when I was looking at my translation, I considered the other options. I saw kind of a relationship. Like, do you remember playing that game when we were a kid? You know, which two things go together? Which thing does not belong? Translating it as benevolent of give harm seemed to go together better to me with yes of give flatter. In fact, let's look at how I translated it. How much difference is there between giving people what they want and pandering? How much difference is there between good intentions and causing harm? You know, if I am giving people what they want, pandering, right? It, you know, following this first sentence, if I'm giving people what they want, pandering in a pandering way, don't I often cause harm? Aren't I sometimes not letting people learn their own lessons? Not letting people find their own guidance? Spoiling people? It seemed to follow much better with the previous sentence. I don't really think the Tao Te Ching is about good and evil. I think the Tao would be much more interested in saying to a leader, are you sure? When you're trying to be that parent-like leader, that what you're doing isn't causing harm. And in fact, if we go back to chapter five, chapter five was the chapter that I named Occurs Without Intention. And this is the one that said the universe is not well-meaning, which is what benevolent in this case means. It treats everything on earth like a straw dog, not real, temporary. Sages are not well-meaning. They regard all people like straw dogs, not real, temporary. So, by sticking with defining this instead of good as benevolent or well-meaning, and translating this as harm instead of evil, we now have a consistent theme between these two sentences that are saying, are you sure? Think about this, that when you are pandering, are you sure you aren't causing harm? Right? Isn't trying to be a good leader in that way, the second best leader, a problem? Sages don't do this, right? Sages don't have good intentions towards people. They're only attempting to follow the guidance, only attempting to be empty. Now, interestingly, when I found James Lege's translation in the last couple of days, notice he also translates it in a similar way. He says good and ill. Ill here meaning what causes suffering. So he didn't say good and evil. He was much more like good and harmful, good and ill. So when we renounce learning, we have no troubles. The ready yes and the flattering yeah. Small is the difference they display, but mark their issues, good and ill. So he's saying the same thing that I saw. If you are pandering, you're causing trouble. Mark their issues, right? Good and ill. Really pay attention. Which one is occurring here? And now the next line. The word for word is person of actually fear, no, cannot fear. Now, if this was translated literally, it would say basically something like if the people fear it, then you must fear it. Or if the people fear it, then I must fear it. And some people translate it that way. But a lot of people realize that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like Lao Tzu. And so what some people did, even though this is not stated as a question like the previous two lines were, they turned this into a question also. So that it said something like, do I have to fear just because the people fear? Right? I just translated this word fear as cautious. This is how I dealt with this. When people are fearful, be cautious. Next, Lao Tzu is saying, desolate, there have not center, right? These are desolate times. People are without their center. So this is why you, as the leader, are going to need to make some changes. You need to be aware. You need to be cautious. You need to make some changes. Now we move on. And what's really fun about this section is there's lots and lots of double characters. Many people, and then happiness, happiness, or double happiness. And the way I translated that is the people are bustling, excited. This is a lot like we saw in chapter 12 of the Tao Te Ching, when it said that humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. They're made deaf by everything they listen to. Their experiences make them opinionated. Their hearts are crazed as they rush about trying to obtain, right? This is that bustling, excited. It's being all involved in perception. The people are bustling, excited, as if enjoy greatest prison. Now, let's look at these characters. This is often translated as if enjoying a great feast. If we put these characters in the dictionary, we will find it says, as if enjoying the greatest firm study, fold, sacrifice, or prison. Doesn't say anything about a feast. Now, some people may have gotten feast from the word sacrifice, because in ancient China, there was a holiday. I can't remember the name of it at the moment, but animals were sacrificed and then feasted upon. So it could be as if to enjoy the greatest sacrifice led people to translate that as feast. But I kept noticing this word prison, and I was aware of the sense of humor that Lao Tzu is using in this chapter. And I thought, what if he's trying to say that their being excited, that their double happiness caught up in perception, is actually a prison? And they don't know it. It's as if they're enjoying their prison. Again, I was a little concerned because everyone else translated it as feast. I knew that they probably got feast from this word sacrifice, thinking of the sacrificial feast. But you know how it is, and when it just nags at me in that way, as if I need to follow my integrity. Now, fortunately, one thing that did help me to make this decision, did help me to dare to be different, is when I was translating, one of the translations that I was looking at and checking my own translation against was one that my friend Yuan gave to me. And if I look at that translation, chapter 20, although they chose agree and disagree, and they chose good and evil, right? They said, the crowd is bustling as if they are enjoying the extreme prison. And of course, that is what I saw, was prison. So that helped to empower me to go forward and write in as if they enjoy their great prison. Again, we're going to see there's a great sense of humor that's coming throughout chapter 20. And I think this is a line of that sarcastic humor. So the people are bustling, excited, as if they enjoy their great prison. The next line, as if springtime ascend platform, as if ascending a platform to watch the spring festival. The spring festival is another name for Chinese New Year's. Even though Chinese New Year's usually falls in the winter, it is the beginning of the springtime lunar calendar. So it's also called the spring festival. And you know, there's parades and things going on. Imagine the joy of being able to get up on a platform and watch the parade so that you can see it well and you're not blocked by the crowd. So here we do have a festival, right? So it could be a double festival. It could be that the people are bustling, excited, as if they're enjoying the sacrificial feast festival, and as if they're ascending a platform to watch the spring festival. But I really thought this great prison was a nice commentary on the situation of people being caught up in perception. So the people are bustling, excited, as if they enjoy their great prison, as if ascending a platform to watch the spring festival. I alone anchor, it have not omen. I alone am anchored without expectations, right? An omen is like to foretell the future. And sometimes we talk about bad omens, but there are also good omens, right? An omen is just having ideas about the future. Now, Lao Tzu is saying, I don't have those expectations. I don't have ideas about the future. In fact, what I'm anchored in is the present. Everyone else is bustling and excited, enjoying their prison, anticipating seeing the parade without having obstructions in front of them. But I am anchored in the now. I don't have any expectations. He says, as if a baby, not yet a child, which really points back to chapter 10. When we looked at chapter 10, he talked about, remember, can you breathe consciously until you reach inner softness and become like a baby, right? So he's commenting on his ability to remain centered. I alone am anchored and without expectations, as if I am a baby and not yet a child. Now here we see some of this sense of humor. Lazy, lazy, as if no place to return. I translated that as aimless, without direction, as if I have no home. This is a commentary on not having self-will. I don't have my own ideas about where to go or what to do. My humorous mind is now saying, if I was following self-will right now, I'd be in bed asleep. But apparently the Tao wants me up teaching from chapter 20, because this is where I am. But you know, when we don't have our own self-will, in a sense, we are aimless. We appear aimless to others. When they ask, what are you going to do tomorrow? And you say, I don't know. How's your summer? What are you going to do this summer? And you say, I don't know. You appear aimless. But the truth is you are available to the Tao, available to be moved in whatever way you are moved. The next line, many people all have surplus. I translated that as everyone has an abundance. And of course we saw that's because they're crazed, you know, the hearts are crazed as they chase about trying to obtain. And I alone seem omit. I alone have been left out. Now that's an interesting sentence because it doesn't necessarily mean that the enlightened one is homeless. Now, Jesus was homeless, Buddha was homeless, Peace Pilgrim was homeless. But if you know Eckhart Tolle or Byron Katie or even Regina Don Acres, we are not homeless. In fact, we are fairly well off. I think they might be more well off than I am, but I have more than I need. So this I alone have been left out is not necessarily literal. It refers more to the fact that I don't need what other people need. I don't even need what I have. Right? It just exceeds what I need. Next is, I, stupid man of heart also. I am a fool because I do not desire like they do. That's really what this first line is pointing to when it says, I alone have been left out. It doesn't necessarily mean that I don't have. Now, Peace Pilgrim again didn't. She had a comb and a toothbrush and the clothes on her back. But that was plenty for her. What I have is way more than I need because I don't desire. I must admit, I probably want more than Peace Pilgrim. I want a roof over my head, a small, humble home. I want, you know, enough food to eat, but I don't need much. Just those basics of food and shelter. And that's all. I don't desire anything else. Right? So everyone has an abundance. I alone have been left out. I am a fool because I do not desire like they do. Confused, confused. This character is repeated. Confused, confused. Common people. And then this character is repeated. Bright, clear. Right? I translated it differently, which I sometimes did. The confused, confused. I kept the same. The bright, clear. What I did was I took two different meanings. See, it can mean bright. It can mean clear. So I just used both of them. I translated that as I am confused, ignorant, because I do not think like they do. It's not really that I'm confused or ignorant. It's that that's how I'm perceived. Just like my ego was telling me I would be perceived that way if I have no opinions. And maybe it isn't really how I'm perceived. It's just how the ego says I'm perceived, right? Maybe people actually do think that I'm wise. Who cares? But the point is, these thoughts are going to show up in our mind. If we are following this path, following the Tao, and following that inner guidance, at some point the ego is going to come in and say, they're going to think you're a fool. They're going to think you're confused, ignorant. That's what the ego is saying about you. So Lao Tzu is just, he's saying, I've heard all these thoughts. And yet I chose to follow the Tao. So I am a fool because I do not desire like they do. I am confused, ignorant, because I do not think like they do, right? This is at least what the ego says of me. I alone am muddleheaded, muddleheaded. I alone am muddleheaded. Yes, muddleheaded. Big sense of humor going on here. Common people examine and inquire. You could say they scrutinize, they want knowledge, they want to learn, they want to understand, right? They're in their heads. I alone am bored and shut indoors. I'm sitting inside, meditating, contemplating, right? I don't have that interesting life out there trying to learn things like they are. Now, this is very interesting. This particular character right here has many meanings. In fact, probably a good place to look at this particular character is to come over here to Gemini and ask Gemini, what does this Chinese character mean? And you'll notice Gemini says this is an exclamatory particle similar to ah or oh, can use to express a variety of emotions, surprise, sadness, joy, used to emphasize a point or draw attention to something. But right now, the meaning that I think it has is to draw attention to something or to interject. Because again, we've had a strong sense of humor going on here. I'm a fool, I'm bored, I'm shut indoors. But then there's tranquil and this particular character. It like ocean. Do you remember chapter 15? Chapter 15 was those ways of being that said masters are at ease as if crossing a frozen creek, still as if not wanting the neighbors to discover them, etc. One of the things it said is tranquil, like the depths of the sea. Like wind in a high place, nothing could stop them. Look at this. Tranquil, it like ocean. Wind in high places, like no stop. But this character, doesn't this seem to be wanting to emphasize this? Isn't that one of the things that Gemini said, to emphasize a point or draw attention to something? This is like Lao Tzu saying, I am different from the others. But I have the peace like the depth of the sea. And I have this guidance. The Tao is guiding me and nothing can stop me, right? I have those ways of being from chapter 15. So I alone am muddleheaded. Yes, muddleheaded. This is humor. I am bored and shut indoors. This is humor. But here's the truth. I'll interject this. I am tranquil like the depths of the sea. Like wind in a high place. Nothing can stop me. And then he goes back to the humor. Many people all have use. Everyone has a purpose. But I alone, stupid and low, I alone am stupid in a low position. Again, I don't need many things. I'm satisfied with very little, right? I alone, different from people. I alone am different from other people. And then this one, and expensive. This particular character can mean eat. It can also mean feed. And this can mean source, or it's often translated as mother. A lot of people will translate this as, I am sustained by the mother, right? Because of this character, which means expensive, which actually means value, people will often say, I value sustenance from the mother or from the Tao, from the source. Because this character meant both eat and feed, I decided to say, I am sustained by the source and I give endlessly. I eat from the source and I feed the source, or I feed the all, right? I am sustained by the source and I give endlessly. And of course, this would be valued, both being sustained by the source and giving endlessly would be valued. So that's how I did my particular translation of the Tao. Now, again, if you read many, many translations, you're going to see that the theme, the humor, it always comes through, but the way it's translated is different. Tonight, while I'm setting up in the middle of the night, for some reason, I decided to put the Chinese characters in Gemini and ask Gemini, how would you translate this? And what I found was really interesting. Discarding learning brings no worry. What is the difference between yes and no? What is the difference between good and evil? What people fear, one cannot not fear. Vast and endless, it seems. The crowd bustles about as if enjoying a grand sacrifice, as if ascending a spring platform. Alone, I drift, not yet formed, chaotic like an infant before it can smile, weary as if having no home. Everyone has more than enough, but I alone seem to have been left out. Am I an idiot? The common people are bright, I alone am dim. The common people are sharp, I alone am dull. Vast as the sea, boundless as if without end. Everyone has something to use, but I alone am clumsy and uncouth. I am different from others, and I cherish the mother principle. Now, this is the part that gets interesting. Right? This phrase could be interpreted as the masses are infatuated or the people are caught up in the illusion of happiness. Right? They think the happiness is out there. See, this is getting very interesting with Gemini. This phrase is often translated as alone I drift, not yet formed. However, it could be interpreted as I am alone and detached, unformed and unconditioned, right? No longer paying attention to that conditioning in the mind, or I am in a state of pure awareness, free from the constructs of the mind. This phrase is often translated as chaotic, like an infant before it can smile. However, it could also be interpreted as an infant before it knows to discriminate, before it can judge, or in a state of pure innocence, free from the burdens of knowledge and experience. This phrase, often translated as weary as if having no home, could be interpreted as lost and wandering without a sense of purpose, or disconnected from the world, adrift in the vastness of existence. Adrift in the vastness of existence. This phrase is often translated as everyone has more than enough. However, it could be interpreted as the masses are consumed by greed and desire, or the people are attached to material possessions and worldly pleasures. Remember, I said it doesn't necessarily literally mean that you don't have anything. It's just that you don't need those things. This phrase is often translated as, but I alone seem to have been left out. However, it could also be interpreted as, I am beyond the need for worldly possessions and pleasures, or I am content with my own simplicity and lack of desire. This phrase, often translated as, am I an idiot, could be interpreted as, am I a fool for not conforming to the ways of the world, or have I lost my mind in pursuit of truth? This phrase is often translated as, the common people are bright. However, it could also be interpreted as, the masses are deluded by their senses, or the people are trapped in the illusion of separateness. Now, this fits with my earlier prison idea, right? That they're enjoying their great prison. They're trapped in the illusion of separateness. This phrase, often translated as, I alone am dim, could be interpreted as, I see through the illusion of separateness, or I am aware. So what I will do when I post this video is I will copy Gemini's translation, and I will put that underneath the video so that you can look at that as well. For those of you, again, who don't know what Gemini is, let me just show you that. All right, it's gemini.google.com, right? So let's get to your assignment. I think this is a good time for a review because this chapter is best understood in the context of previous chapters. So if you don't have a pen or a pencil, pause the video for a second and get one. And then I am going to give you a list of chapters that relate to chapter 20. What I would like you to do is read and contemplate these chapters together. Chapter 5, Chapter 9, Chapter 10, Chapter 12, 13, 15, 17, 18, 19, and 20. And when you read 20, you can also include Gemini's 20 if you like. Again, that was 5, 9, 10, 12, 13, 15, 17, 18, 19, and 20. All right. I don't know if I'm going to get to go to sleep or not. It's 4:23 a.m. I usually get up around 5. Maybe last night was just a night of no sleep, but I'm sure if I need energy today, the Tao will give me the energy. I'll see you when we come back to do chapter 21. Bye.